Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zulcan count is called Red Rhythmic Dragon, and it is the sixth day of the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, and it is Resonant Moon Day 20. And in the Yellow Warrior time, we can really hone in on how we are ourselves warriors, that we find ourselves on a battlefield, that there is devastation and loss all around us, and we may be losing or we may be winning at great cost. There's nothing about actual war that's ever easy. It's never won easily. And so in this time, I think that we can identify that even if we feel victories or our strength prevailing over challenge, that it is at such a cost. And it's not really probably an emotional cost at the time, but it has, I think there's going to be an emotional debt. There'll be emotions to feel in the aftermath. Like, I'm just describing my impressions of how people survive in war. You know, very rarely is there time or permission, acceptance of having a breakdown right in the midst of a really challenging, adrenaline surging onslaught of, you know, violent assault. Instead, you probably can hold it together, and then in the aftermath is when the emotional volatility might show up. And I say that because after Yellow Warrior, the Wave Spell, comes Red Moon, the Wave Spell. And Red Moon is all about having really moody, tidal feelings. Meanwhile, just going to riff on current events as I am affected by them. I'm in one part of the world where my current events or my local current events are maybe not yours, but you can do transference and find your own parallel description of the war you find yourself in. And I want to acknowledge that in Asia, there's sort of a massive, there's the perception that there could be a really massive viral infection that runs around and takes many, many lives. And that's not real for me at this time in Southern California, but I acknowledge, like, it can feel much more real if you're closer to the epicenter of that, or if you had an earthquake really close in proximity, such as happened in the Caribbean yesterday. But anyway, in Southern California, a legendary basketball hero died in a helicopter crash, and so did his daughter and seven other people. But the I felt that impact was so grievous. It was just so grievous. As they say, only the good die young. And it affected communities that have had enough grief. We could say African-American communities. We could say people who lean on sports as their inspiration because maybe they're hampered by poverty, or, you know, their lives are restricted in other ways. And so sports heroes become angels and guides to young kids, and they grow up with them. And what I discovered, because I didn't have any really personal affiliation with Kobe Bryant, was just what the resonant moon offers us, which is unbridled psychic ability and empathy, you know, intuitive, resonant connection with whatever's in our midst. So I am routinely really empathic, but this has been just a predominant state of blending with other people's grief and being overtaken by it. And I also think that, you know, in terms of like the feeling of being at war, because that's what it feels like, just like, oh my God, we've lost our captain. We've lost a vital member of our squad. It's too much to bear, you know, just watching people be taken out. But then there's also this sense that in the U.S. there is so much devastating, battling, discouraging, anti-democratic fervor that, you know, a lot of us are just super beaten down. You know, we're in a kind of internment here. And this felt like it tipped the scales too far to just be placid or even to feel nothing, to be inoculated to the crisis in America of polarized divisiveness and also authoritarian, like encroaching authoritarian rule. So those things are really hard to live with emotionality, because they just every day there's just another kind of bludgeoning, and you don't become immune, but you just live sort of splayed out instead of fully erect and empowered in the way we can't combat it so strongly. So in any case, this is all the language of the war. And then to just have one hero fall was like just beyond the capacity to stay unresponsive. So I'm trying to work that into the Yellow Warrior story here. I may not be doing it effectively, but I absolutely am experiencing it through the Yellow Warrior folklore, because I've never been to war. I mean, women go to war, but it's just like I have, you know, bitch battles with people, and I get really angry, and I'm willing to go toe-to-toe and, you know, exhibit rage. But I think it's really different in Yellow Warrior. It's calculated, and it's tribal, it's communal. People go to war together. It's not like an independent sniper in Yellow Warrior. Instead, we're in a group formation trying to either protect or encroach into other territories in order to expand. And so I love having this perspective that's pretty dominantly masculine and has limits. You know, you shut down emotionally in order to be in the state of having your heart protected, but then it still pushes us to a breaking point. And I have one last little anecdote, which is, you know, me and my dogs. I feel like unless you're a dog person, to hear about people and their dogs is a little bit like listening to a child, you know, talk about their lives. It may not be as rich for you as for me living it. But on Yellow Overtone Sun, I lost one of my dogs, not dead, but I have two huskies and two small bulldogs, and the huskies are always disappearing. Like, that's just their way. And so when I can't find them, it has been very stressful for the 7 years I've been their owner. But it's rarely like, Jesus, they're gone forever. But my male bulldog disappeared right out from under my eyes in a place where there's plenty of sort of transitory dwellers. And he just never runs off. And so I couldn't find him for 20 minutes. And all I could think about in the sort of aftermath of the helicopter crash was that he was gone, you know, that I was looking for a little carcass that a car would have hit, or I was going to have to accept that he had been taken by someone. And this was all an excuse, apparently, like a super paranormal excuse for me to super express grief, like just traumatic grief. And who knows for how far back it goes. It could go back to my childhood. It could be go back to the election of Donald Trump. It could be just a response to the kind of pain that's in the air, the atmosphere in Southern California and the larger United States and even the world about, you know, this one legendary man and his entourage dying. But I think all of this has relevance to the resonant moon and, again, to Yellow Warrior, that, you know, you can train for war and you can perceive war as having some mechanical elements and that it is also very brutal and that people can be very factual about that. You know, well, we're going to lose some men, lose some soldiers, man down. But then to have these sort of miniature, you know, not accurately, we're not accurately at war, not exactly at war, but just to have this time where we could experiment with, like, well, this feels a little bit like what they talk about with war. It really shows us how it costs the human spirit. You know, the people that go to war make incredible sacrifices because their psyches become so riddled with the anguish of handling human suffering right before their eyes and in themselves. So I'm sorry if that's a bit of a preachy and not specifically natural time interpretation, but it's been really, really rich and demanding for me. I guess I didn't mention that my dog had just gotten lost, and he's really kind of young, and so he was really scared too, but it wasn't like a happy ending in the sense that there was relief. I really compared it to the helicopter tragedy because for me there was relief. But, you know, for others there's never the reunification. There's never the relief to come. And I know this is really obvious. It's just such a lesson, you know. It's such a lesson right now. People say, oh, well, enjoy every day that you have. Tell the people that you are in your lives that you love them, and I don't discredit any of that, but I think it's also important to feel the shadow energy of, like, just feel what it's like to lose those you love, because many do every day, and then we have empathy for them and we hold them in our thoughts and hearts perpetually. You know, we don't get to big, like, escape plans where we forget that anyone suffers because we're doing so well. Instead, we stay strong and we stay in gratitude, but we are always aware that there are others that are not having the ease and delight that we may have run into for a while. And then when it's our turn to feel the darkness, I don't think that we have practice, but we have depth, you know, depth of character. Our psyches are deep and expansive, and we can go into the darkness and feel the grief and allow it to be, you know, as we describe in the White Mirror Tribe, the sacrifice that takes us closer to the spirit world. So those are some of my thoughts. And so Yellow Warrior will continue for another week, and I'm not going to add a bunch more. I mean, like I said last podcast, it's just like this is one of these wave spells to learn what Yellow Warrior is by experience. And because it's a term that's not, like, terribly confusing to us, we can take what we already know about it and compare that to what we're experiencing as we move through the time. And we can add knowledge and we can refine and we can find out that each Yellow Warrior wave spell is different or has different angles and offerings. And then in the resonant moon, I hope you get the big theme here that you're psychic right now. It's fun. It's a really special time. It's 28 days of this kind of ability to get answers by listening, just listening to the absence of direct messaging. You know, someone may or may not be talking to you about what they think or feel, but you can pick up on it. And if they are talking, you can pick up on deeper than what they're saying. And when people are talking a lot, then I think they're speaking from the very depth of themselves, or in direct connection, channeling, attuning something much larger than themselves, and including you. You would do that in the resonant moon. So to me, it's just absolutely wonderful. You know, I could say that, oh, every moon is wonderful. But, you know, the rhythmic moon that we went through prior is really excellent for getting us organized, for being methodical, for musical, you know, ability. And it really paces us in the Northern Hemisphere through the winter. So it's a way of acclimating to seasons and being in rhythm with nature, you know, to notice that seasons exist because we're subjected to that. But the resonant moon is just like super magical, because who doesn't want to have psychic ability? Who doesn't want to be intuitive? It's like a superpower. It's special. You know, it's sort of a dream to be able to understand what people are thinking. So enjoy it. And we've been in this third week, and I think that's why you got a long discourse from me, because this third week in the West, as promised, delivered an amazing, emotionally cathartic, you know, wormhole. Just so much crying, so much crying. And actually the joy and relief to just to be able to cry, to actually have a recognized reason to be crying, you know, for me in my Zumba class, you know. Just getting sweaty and dancing, and then feeling the athleticism of that, and then remembering when I played basketball for 7 years in my youth, and then boom, you know, I'm with all the basketball fans crying, and no one misunderstands why, you know. Just being able to cry, moving around in the world is a gift. So we come to the conclusion of this third week in the West, and the volatility, or the rapid fire evolution that comes when our feelings are involved, and we start now the physical, whoa, that was a dog sound, physical embodiment, or, you know, that things drop down and become sort of terrestrial, physicalized in our body, or embodied, or manifested, which is one of those words, like abundance, like what does that mean? But when things are in the South, in the color yellow, what I think of is that since everything is cyclical and it starts in the East and moves to the North and goes to the West and then lands in the South, that it's the ultimate, it's like evidence of everything that's gone before it. It'll become physical. It starts mental with fire in the mind. It is passed through this purification portal of meeting the spirit world in the North. Then there's kind of this feeling state, a watery birth, and then things become solid. That's the word I'm looking for. Solidified. In the South, and that's how we always end. The moon is a week in the South, and so I think it's more easeful. I think it feels simpler. I think it feels like the conclusion of a journey, the evening out. And, you know, you can compare it to a 13-day wave spell, that it's, you know, it's sort of like the crystal and cosmic days of the 13. And so I'm not sure, you know, how we solidify resonance, how we solidify the ability to channel, attune, you know, again, being intuitive. But we'll see. We'll find out. And it'll all be in the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell. This is like a clean connection that the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, you know, pretty much completes right at the end of the resonant moon. So we have both continuing on for the duration. Let me do some more specific detailing of the days to come. So today is Red Rhythmic Dragon. It means we're back to the beginning of a Zolkin column. There are 13, right? And they each have 20. That's how we get 260 days. So we start at the top at Red Dragon, and we drop through the other 19 tribes. And so Red Dragon isn't just like the top. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the creation mythology held within the 20 tribes. And we start always in the hieroglyph shows the picture of a cauldron, which can be described as sort of like, you know, the witch's cauldron, and we all come out of that. But it's the womb, you know, the warmth and the creation space that is the womb, and we're all of that. It's also like the ancient oceans from which all of life emerged. So in Red Dragon, we can be in the sort of womb space or divine maternal nurturance, and it's the beginning of something. It's the beginning of another run through the storytelling of how everything begins inside the mother and then meets the father, and then we individuate and we have our own bodies, and then, you know, our bodies have all these aspects that we move through, and then animal forms, you know, a body. A human body is after, you know, stops at red serpent and white dog and blue monkey, you know, this slow evolution from reptile to mammal to, you know, refined mind and then beyond. But Red Dragon Day, rhythmic, as I just described, it kind of gets us in an organizing mode and efficiency, a way to start harnessing our energy sustainably, you know, not chaotic, not undirected, but getting in rhythm. And so I'm not going to extrapolate. Well, in the Yellow Warrior Wave spell, the way we get organized is by being nurturing. I don't know how that works in terms of warriorship, but we're going to find out. And then we have White Resonant Wind on Thursday, which I guess is the 30th of January. And that's a resonant day and a resonant moon. So that'll be a magic turtle day, and you'll be able to really turn on your, you know, resonant channel, and you can keep your eyes on it. You can assess clinically, like, how psychic am I on a resonant day and the resonant moon? You don't get much more psychic than that unless it's a resonant year, and that's 6 years from now. So enjoy the most resonant you can get on Thursday. And it's even, you know, more heightened because white wind is about spirit communication. It is the paternal divinity. You know, after Red Dragon, we always meet our fathers. After we've been in the womb, we take our first breath outside our mother's bodies, and that's where our father greets us and sort of has some jurisdiction over the oxygenated world. And and yet the day is just full of, you know, messages that come through people's spoken words or our senses of, that there is spirit communication, you know, coming through nonverbal channels. So it's a psychic day. And then on Friday, Blue Galactic Night, January 31st, that is a reflection backward or a reminder of the Blue Night wave spell that preceded this one, this Yellow Warrior. And let me say a few other things about it. You know, I forgot to mention that on the resonant day, White Resonant Wind, we are, of course, having this sort of holographic precursor to the White Wind wave spell, which will be 20 days from White Resonant Wind. Anytime we come to a resonant day, 20 days later is its wave spell. And the resonant White Resonant Wind is also sort of this filament, etheric presentation of something that's going to be much more solidified, real, and actual when the wave spell comes around. But we get maybe a sense of what's to come. And then on the galactic day, Blue Galactic Night, we're finishing. We're not presaging something. We're completing. We're, I guess it's like a salutation, and there can be a sense, an offering of appreciation and gratitude for Blue Night passing through our lives, bringing us the power of the dream time to our daytime and making life dreamlike. It's a portal day, and it will, I don't know what's interesting about that. It's guided by Blue Hand, so we can expect something amazing from the Donald. Galactic Days. This is a little preview of the galactic moon that follows the resonant moon. Galactic Days are about putting everything together. The galaxy is a sea of stars. And so there's all kinds of individuated stars and suns out there that we're looking at, but it looks like a spill of milk on the night sky. That's why it's lactose, galactic, the Milky Way. But in that splash of, sparkling, effervescent, star foam out there in the sky is all of this, all these, deeply separated individual stars and planets. And so the energy of the galactic tone is to remind us how to integrate all the separate parts of self, all the breakage that's happened in each of us comes back together. There's holism, there is repair, and we want that strength of everything sort of being unified, harmonized, is the word Jose Arguelles used, so that we can take the next step in the solar tone and the solar moon of making our wishes and intentions clear in the language of the Creator, the Sun God. So you can anticipate a little what the galactic moon will bring you by paying attention to this galactic portal day. And then Saturday will be a solar day where we speak the language of the sun to the sun god, make our wishes and intentions known, and we're able to do it because we've had so much preparation. And in this yellow warrior wave spell, we do that in the yellow solar seed. So I can never talk about yellow seed, with any astuteness, but it's plant life. So plants don't use lots of words. They use subtle energies and they're super sensitive. So you can just anticipate being on fire. That's what the solar tone is, really, really fast moving, speed of light. And at the same time, the seed flowering, just some kind of flowering. Yeah, I think it's important to take it day by day. If you're in any kind of grief process, or if you feel combative and you want to sit this whole wave spell out because you don't like seeing yourself in conflict. I mean, I'm amazed how persnickety I can be in this time. I'm not the only one. People just being badass confrontational. And when it happens to me, I'm all, oh, stop, you're being so combative, and it's just yellow warrior BS. The most mundane part of yellow warrior is that just you're going to be impatient and antagonistic when you move through the world, intolerant. There's a much deeper way to gather the momentum and gift of this wave spell. I'm not criticizing you for being petty and immature and conflicted socially just by being not kind. And maybe none of you have got that going on. It doesn't happen all day for me, but it happens. But I think it's been fun for me to just pull away from people and be on my own, so that that's not my experience of yellow warrior, and instead I'm doing this thing I talked at length about, which is, acknowledging the pain involved in seeing people, die or be emotionally destroyed by the consequences of the loss of human ease, if not life, suffering. And then maybe in a more chatty way, just to close, I posted on my Instagram that I had to let everyone know that John Bolton is a yellow warrior, because it's fun to follow current events and they seem to matter. It's not frivolous stuff anymore. Nothing going on in the world is it's just unimportant. It all seems pretty consequential to humanity. And so paying attention and being like, oh, people think that, you know, John Bolton's book got leaked for all these different reasons. And then I just like to be like, well, it's his time, you know, it's just his time. It's his time to shine. It's his time to surface. It's his time to have dominion. And then it is a reminder to all of you as you approach your Mayan birthday, as I'm approaching mine, it's less than 40 days away, that everyone gets this kind of birth push in anticipation of their rebirthday. And so since John Bolton is a yellow galactic warrior, when we come to the galactic day, recognizing the yellow warrior wave spell that was, that'll be his Mayan birthday. And you can see, like, it's building. That's not long from now. And he's coming into the renewed, charged strength of self. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.